Well, amen. Praise the Lord. Want to get into the Word of God. It was a very good word that we had this morning. And I just want to share with you. I want to share with you what God has been speaking to my heart. Amen.
Amen.
I want to talk about the priesthood of believers. Now, when I was here the last time, can everybody hear me? Yeah. When I was here the last time, I brought you two messages on the history of the Bible. Now, I came to understand as I'm studying this history of the Bible that there were certain principles of the Word of God that when the people found the Word, they laid hold of these things. One of the principles, of course, was the principle of baptism on confession of faith. They rejected infant baptism. They rejected and they discovered much that was false about the Roman Catholic Church. And for these beliefs, because they put them in practice, they were tormented, they were persecuted, they were killed. They were bound to a wooden stake and they were burned with fire. And one of the principles that they held very strongly to and for which they were persecuted grievously was the principle of the priesthood of all believers. Do you understand what I mean by this term, the priesthood of all believers? This means, brother, that you are a priest. You are a priest in your home. And you are a priest in the house of God. And this concept of the priesthood of all believers is very destructive to the whole idea of clergy. It flies directly into the face of the system of pastors and bishops. If I am a priest in God's eyes, why do I need to submit to a pastor or a bishop?
Ang punto mo, kung usap ko kapare, diha ko bangan sa Dios, lalong itinahanglan pa mo kung susubmit
God does not have a problem with spiritual leadership in the church.
Diyan sa Diyos walay problema alang niya ang ilan ato mga pangulo sa espiritual na bahin.
But he has a problem with man's priesthood where they rule and reign over God's people.
Apan diha nahimong problema ang nahimong hari ano na ginuod na inayahan sa tao ngadto sa mga tao.
Now I want to read a verse in Revelation 21 that I very recently discovered again. Discovered again. Amen.
Amen.
You know, when you go through the Word of God, sometimes you just read it and it doesn't say much to you. But one day you read it, and the truth of that verse hits you in the face. Oh my! This is what God is saying. Now, let me read the verse. It's verse 22 in Revelation 21. And he's talking about the new Jerusalem that is coming down from heaven, coming down from God to be with us. And I'll read the verse. It says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it."
Amen.
Now, having read this verse, I could sit down now. It says it all. But since it took me so long to see it, maybe I'll take a little longer and maybe you can come with me. Now, let's go to Peter next, and I will get into this subject. Let us go to Peter. I think it's going to be 2 Peter. Oh my, where is Brother Peter? 1 Peter 2:5. Yeah, I found Peter. I just didn't remember where it was. 1 Peter 2:5. But let me start with verse 4. Because it says, "To whom coming as unto a living stone..." Just those few verses. "Coming as a living stone." Okay. Now, when we're talking about a living stone, we are talking about the temple. We are talking about the house of God. So Peter is talking about the house of God, and he's saying, first of all, that Jesus is a living stone that was disallowed, indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious.
Kini siya.
Who was this living stone?
Kinsa kini mo ang buhing bato?
Jesus, of course.
Jesus mismo.
And who rejected Jesus?
O kinsa ang misalikwa yung ginong Jesus?
Who?
Kinsa?
The church. No, they didn't use that word in his day. It was the people of God. But today we would use the word church, which is supposed to describe the people of God. So, as it was in the day of Christ, so it is today, that this living stone is rejected by the religious system. Now, Brother Bert was telling us this morning, and we will follow along with that. As is Christ, so shall we be. He has many times in the past taken you back to the book of Genesis, where God said, "Let us make man after our image and after our likeness." So we are now in the image of God. We have the attributes of understanding and the attributes of being able to comprehend wisdom and these attributes. But we are not yet like Him. But as we follow His purpose of sonship, the Son shall be like His Father. So Peter is going back here to talk of us now. He first he mentioned Jesus, the living stone, and now in verse 5, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So I am looking at the house of God as I look here around this room. If you are of Christ, if you are in Christ, amen. You are a living stone. Amen. You are not a dead stone. Living stones have life. And every living stone has a purpose. And if you fulfill your purpose, the house of God is blessed. Every part of my body has a purpose. My ear, my nose, my eyes, my mouth, my toes, yes, my toes, all of them, all five of them on each foot. Sometimes on a body, there's a man who has injured his toes and they are taken off. We have a man that sometimes comes to our fellowship. Right now he's in a hospital. He's a very, very large, strong man. But when he was young, he was very foolish. And he drank much alcohol. And he went outdoors in the winter, in the snow, and the freezing cold. And he went to sleep in the snow. He has no toes. He has only little stubs for fingers. Sometimes he can hold something like this because... Now, these are members that belong in the body, but they're not there. And his body cannot function very well. Okay, so Peter is going on and he says that we are also a holy priesthood. How many kinds of priesthood are there? Well, we know, first of all, there was the Levitical priesthood. Priesthood of Levi. Amen. But Jesus has clearly done away with the priesthood of Levi. So now what kind of priesthood do we have? Peter said spiritual priesthood. Amen. Spiritual sacrifices. Holy priesthood. So if there is a holy priesthood, there is probably an unholy priesthood. And we know that there is a religious system that has priests who do not know God. Yes, they do not know the blood of Jesus Christ. They know nothing of the experience of born again. And if you look into their history, they are an unrighteous priesthood. Wicked. Okay, so let's go and see what God's purpose was for this priesthood. If you come to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 19, and we find the context here is that God was making a covenant with the people of Israel. This is now 3 months after they came out of Egypt. They had come to the plain that is before Mount Sinai. And they have set their tents in this valley. And God is speaking to Moses, and he says, I would like to make a covenant with my people. And he said, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if sister would read verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So God is making them an offer. You can be a people higher than all other people in spiritual terms. You can be a special treasure of mine. And verse 6, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. So Moses spoke these words to the children of
Israel.
And they said, all that you have spoken, verse 8, and the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people to the Lord. So the Lord said to Moses, okay, everybody has agreed. They want to be part of this covenant with me. They want to hear my voice. They want that I can speak directly to them. So they can be a whole nation, a whole kingdom of priests who will hear my voice. What is the meaning of the word priest? What does priest mean?
Standing in the gap.
Okay. Another word for that might be a mediator. Someone that stands between two different, say, people. So a priest unto God would be a man who hears from God and brings the message to the people. And then if the people have something they want to say to God, they would say to the priest, well, would you tell God thus and thus? Now you see, this is the way the priesthood works in the Roman Catholic Church. And the people come to the priest and they say, well, Mr. Priest, I have sinned, and please ask God to forgive me.
So he goes to God. And he says, well, God says, say 20 Hail Marys. No, God didn't say that. You see, this is not a holy priesthood. Nevertheless, this is a priesthood where the people believe that they have to go to a minister, a clergyman, a priest, in order to come to God. Amen. Now, the first time I didn't know about a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a word of prophecy when I was, not when I was a new Christian, but when I was new in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was about 30 years old. And there was a man in my city that we had heard that he had a gift of prophecy. So I went to see the man and I poured out my troubles and I said, what is God saying? Now, he gave me a word, and in my ignorance, I believe it was the word of God. But it wasn't a word that completely satisfied me. It was true, but it wasn't everything that I needed to hear. And I was not taught the things of hearing God, and you know, I was taught, well, you pray, you get down, Heavenly Father, you know. But they did not teach us that you can press in and hear from God. So I wrestled with this. And my troubles continued and they got worse. And finally I remember I went to the house of a friend of mine. I remember I went and laid my face on the floor. And there was hardwood boards that were this wide on the floor. Hardwood, made of wood. And I remember I put my nose down on that wood. And my tears began to come, and my tears wet that floor. And I said, Lord, I am your son, and it is my life that we're talking about, and I have every right to hear your voice. And I said, and I am not getting off this floor until I hear your voice. I was about 32 years old. And I did not intend to leave that floor. But to my surprise, I heard a trumpet that came from this side of my ribs, and it blew the words right through me right here.
daw ning buko ang labunog ang tiyog para daw yung dinitay ang tuo na bahin sa iyang gusto.
And it was a spiritual voice. I didn't hear with these ears. I don't know where my spirit is, but somewhere in here, my spirit heard these words. And the voice said, "Son, will you bear with me a little while longer?" What will you answer if God asks you a question like that? Will you say no? Or will you say yes? You know, there are two words that you must never use in the same phrase. The words are no, Lord. If He is Lord, you never say no. And He was saying, I am responsible for your circumstances. And when I am ready, I can change your circumstances. And I'm thinking, a little while, oh, maybe 2 or 3 more months. I think it was something more like 6 years when I began to see the change. Do you understand? If God wants you to be a son and able to hear His voice, He's going to discipline you and you are going to have to overcome. Now the unholy priesthood will not tell you that. So, Moses got the people ready. Wash your clothes. Sanctify yourselves and be ready. On the third day, I will meet with the people. In verse 16, it says, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled." Hallelujah. And what did the people do when they heard the voice of the Lord? Go to verse 20. They did something else. Verse 20, verse 18. It says, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off." That's verse 18. Chapter 20, verse 18.
Mikorok sa hilabing
And the next verse says, and they said to Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die.
20.
The next verse, chapter 20, verse 19. Verse 19. Chapter 20, verse 19.
Chapter 20, verse 19 to 20. Kapitulo 20, versikulo 20. Og sila mingon nga ito ni Moses, makisulti ka ka na mo o kami maninaw. Apat ayaw itugot na ang Diyos makisulti ka na mo, basin ka ni mamatay. 20. Og si Moses mingon nga ito sa katawan, ayaw kahadlo kay ang Diyos nga bot aron sa pagsulay kay ninyo, og nga ang iyang kahadlo kung sa mana at atubakan sa inyong maraon, anong kamuti ni makasala.
Amen. So did you, how many verses did you read? Did you read 20? 19 and 20, go ahead and read 21. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near into the thick darkness where God was. It was the last verse that she just read. Now, here's another example of where God had a plan that they should all be priests. In other words, God is giving them a chance. They can all hear from God. If they had taken the opportunity, Moses wouldn't have to be their high priest. Aaron would not have to be their high priest. They would not have an order of Levite. Now, this should be the situation in all the churches. Every man and woman should learn to hear the voice of God. That means the priesthood of all believers. Now, when the people of the 1500s got a hold, the 1400s, 1500s, when they got a hold of the true word of God that talked of these things, and the church began to try to force them to come under submission to their priesthood. We must baptize your babies. We are the one who can change the bread into the body and blood of Jesus. We are the ones who can do the rituals when you're dying. We are the ones who can marry you. You know, the church in Russia had been away from the rest of the body of Christ for so many years during the communist days. And I remember meeting some young people in probably about 1990 or 91. We went to Moscow. They came from different cities, they came from different villages, came from Siberia, some of them. And I remember there were certain young people that said that they had got engaged and that their pastor had agreed that it was a good idea. And the bishop came along and he said, no. Because you did not ask me. Do you understand? Well, we baptized some people. No, I did not baptize them. And it so happened that before the year 200, there were bishops, before the year 200, that's only 100 years after John died, there were bishops that said, you cannot have communion, you cannot have the bread and wine unless I am there to give it. How quickly the church lost this principle, this doctrine, the priesthood of all believers. I remember when the Lord called us to the ministry, we were not under any church. And the people said, we want to have the bread and wine next time. And I thought, can I do that? Is that okay, Lord? Can I give them bread and wine? You see, we had lost the thing that the martyrs died for, these things. Will we lose what they have given their blood for? Can I marry someone? But I don't have ordination papers in my file. You know what? New York State is not a very nice state as far as their laws are concerned. But they have a law that says anyone who is recognized as a leader in a religious group can marry anyone else. Yes. Can marry. You come here with your man, and I say, Do you take this woman? Do you take this man? Do you promise? Yeah, da da da. Okay. You're married. Amen. I went to Nigeria about 13 years ago, and they had a wedding, and they didn't have any pastor. The man and woman got up. They looked at each other. They promised to love each other and to be faithful. And then an elder got up and he blessed them. Oh, maybe several elders came and laid hands and blessed them. But they were their own clergy. I don't know whether somebody had to sign their papers, probably, but you see, people that love truth are beginning to understand what God said and wants preserved. Let me go to Isaiah for a minute. Isaiah chapter 61. Did God forget about this priesthood? Isaiah was many, many years from the days of Moses. Amen. So in 61, these are the verses that Jesus spoke when he went to his hometown in the synagogue when he kind of began his ministry. And then he goes in verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
Isaiah chapter 61, versículo 3.
Amen.
Ang lana sa kalipay, alam sa pagsubo, ang bisig sa patay, alam sa eskerito sa kabugas, aron sila mahimong tawdon ng mga kahoy sa pagkamataro, ang pagtanong sa Ginoo, aron sila mahimaya.
Thank you, Thomas, for fixing my light. Amen. Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Listen, the Bible defines its own terms.
Ang Biblia nagpasabot sa iyang kaugalingon nga pagpasabot.
What are trees?
Unsa kining mga kahoy nga gisgutan?
When you go into Revelation, what are trees?
Kung adto ta sa pinadaya, unsa kining mga kahoy nga gisgutan?
Where it says, hurt not the trees, hurt not the grass, till we have sealed the servants.
Ayaw sa kisig kining mga kahoy nga gisgutan niya, unsa kining?
Amen. They are people. The trees are the strong ones.
Ang mga kahoy nga gisgutan katong mga
God is talking about trees of righteousness, strong believers. Sons of God. Amen. Let's look at this tabernacle here for a minute. What do we have out here in the outer court? Outer court. We have people, but we also have some priests, don't we?
Amen.
These are the priests that minister to the people. Amen. Then in the holy place, we have no average people, we have only priests. And what kind of priests are these? These are the sons of Zadok. The sons of Zadok, who did not go astray when the rest of the church went astray. And then what kind of priest do we have here in the most holy place? We have a high priest. Amen. And God is even bringing us into that place there. What are trees? I think last week I got a phone call from another state. Nobody that any of my friends in the fellowship have ever met. He's a relative of mine.
Wala kuno ni tabo at tumong iyang igagaw nagtawag sa
But he's getting interested in the things of God. He got a hold of some of our books. He got a hold of some of our recordings. And he said to me, "Brother Mark, what are trees?"
Brother Mark, unsay ni mga kahuya nga gisgutan?
I said, "Why do you ask?" He said, "Well, they have a lady reverend."
Dunay babae kuno nga labaw makagahom.
She's the chaplain in one of the facilities.
Siya ang gitawag nga magtutudlo sa maong pagpasugda.
And she went out and dedicated some trees and she anointed the trees. He says, "What do you think of that?" I said, "My friend, she doesn't know the word of God, or she wouldn't be wasting her oil on the trees in the yard." She's only doing a religious ritual. It's another kind of priesthood. So let me take the context here of what Isaiah is talking about. We're going to get down to verse 6. And he's talking about building the old waste places, restoring the desolate places of many generations. Yeah, I'm just summarizing here. He's talking about restoring waste places and restoring many generations. If you heard Brother Bert's testimony this morning, you heard a restoration of generations where there were murders and thieves and what have you. And I don't know enough about the criminals in my background to tell you any more about them. Amen. So there's a restoration. And we're talking about the sons of God. We are talking about the priesthood that God has called His sons to. And in verse 6 he says, "But you shall be named priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers," that means the servants of our God. "Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves." So remember now, that's in the same chapter where Jesus is saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach." Now let's go over to Revelation. We'll finish with just a few verses over here. I believe we'll start in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1. And we'll be looking at verse 6. And this is the introduction. This is Jesus coming to John, saying who he is, saying why he's come to bring this message. And he says in verse 6, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Saying to John, not just kingdom of priests, but kings and priests.
Jesus mismo ni padayag nato sa ang Juan, dili lang gingharian sa mga pariunon apan mga hari o mga pari.
Now that doesn't mean you go out and start acting cocky. Saying I'm a king's kid, I can have anything I want. I will have a big fancy car and a big fancy house. That's not what it means. It means as priests, we will have authority. In other words, the word throne means a certain authority of the Spirit. As you get more and more mature in God, you're going to discover little by little that you have authority in things that you didn't know you had when you were younger. And God is going to test you in these places to see if He can trust you. Will you misuse the authority that you have? You see, if I had all the authority that I'd like to have, I would probably misuse it today. If I discovered that everybody I prayed for any malady of your body, you were instantly healed, what would I do? If I discovered that I had authority over every storm, what would I do? Would I be able to discern that it's not the will of God for me to interfere in this thing? Could I quietly turn and walk away and leave it be? Or would I say, no, I have the power. Luke. No, I don't know. But as God begins to trust us, I believe that He intends that we shall be kings and priests. I looked the words up. It says kings and priests. Even if I don't understand it, that's what God said. And if God said, then I must agree. Let's go to another Revelation chapter 5. I have only two more places. Chapter 5, and we come down to the opening of the fifth seal. I would love to take a long time and understand the first four seals. But let's go to the ninth verse. Chapter 9 in Revelation 6, and it says, "And when he had opened the sixth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they had." Chapter 6. I'm dreadfully sorry. I have the wrong chapter. It's chapter 5. Chapter 5. Verse 9. Okay, I'm sorry. I would like to teach over here, but I'm not going to. Verse 9. Now these are those that are gathered around the throne, remember? It says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Does that include the Philippines? Does that include the tribes of the Philippines? Yes, God has redemption for every kind of people. Amen. Now, who's going to take this message of redemption to every nation, every kindred, every people, every tribe? And verse 10, "And thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth." So now we finish with chapter 20. And we're looking at verse 6. Amen. And this part of Revelation 20 is talking about how the devil is bound now for 1,000 years. And the saints, or shall we say the sons of God, are going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. In verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Those who hear from God, those who are able to tell people who don't hear from God,
ang mga pare nga nakadimo gikan sa Dios, ug ang mga pare nga makahimo pagsulti ngadto sa mga tao,
those who are teaching people to hear from God,
ug nagtudlo sa mga tao nga kanang maminaw sa Dios,
those who have the authority of Christ to reign with Christ, and this is 1,000-year millennium. How will I reign with Christ? Will I have a throne?
Ignore that.
No. You go that way. No. You go that way.
Oh.
You're guilty. Do this. Do that. That's not what we're talking about. Don't you know that righteousness is going to rule the world? I don't need a throne. All I need to do is walk in righteousness. I need the oneness in the body of Christ. And I need to be part of this temple in chapter 21, verse 22, we finish again. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and His Lamb are the temple of it. Now I only got halfway there, so we'll have to finish another day. God bless you.